Welcome to the Pouncecast. My name is Matt Menzel. Our guest on this edition, a 1970 UWM grad. He was also inducted into the Milwaukee Panthers Athletic Hall of Fame back in 2014. Tim O'Driscoll. Tim, thanks for your time.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me today.
Obviously, baseball has been a big part of your life. So I want to, you know, go back in time. What was your first introduction to, first memory of the game of baseball?
Probably my dad was a baseball player, and in fact, my grandfather used to take the train out from Milwaukee to Oconomowoc, and he pitched in the Land O'Lakes League, believe it or not, and I also played there later on in my life, but I think my dad and my brother used to just play catch, and my dad started Little League in a little town called Montchez. It's a little town which is in the northern corner of Waukesha County and the southern corner of Washington County. And I think the population right now is about 22 people. But it was always a baseball. I can't believe it, but it was. And I started playing Little League there when I was 9 years old. And then in Waukesha County, we used to have things based on water. It started as raindrops, then you went to puddles, then you went to brooks, and then you went to lakes. And I played all those years. I played 3 years at the raindrop level, 2 years at puddles, 2 years at brooks, and then I pitched in the Land O'Lakes for Montchez for 14 years.
How about for you growing up, you know, maybe regardless of sport, what teams did you cheer for? What athletes did you look up to?
Well, without question, my team, and I emphasize the word Milwaukee, was the Milwaukee Braves. Now, the Braves had come from Boston, so they were the Boston Braves till they came here. And I think people were really spoiled when they came here early in the 50s. The attendance and stuff in Milwaukee at County Stadium, and I can't help it, you know, I score now at American Family Field, but my wife says, where are you going? I still say, I'm going to the stadium. I can't help it. It's something that I've always lived with, and my baseball team was the Milwaukee Braves, and they were only here, though, for 13 years, and I think people misunderstand that somewhat. But we fell in love with them, and of course they went to the World Series in 1957 and 58. They beat the play, the damn Yankees, really stands out strongly in my mind. They beat them in 57. Then in 58 they had a four-game to one lead in this series. Three games to one, and the Yankees came back and beat them in 58. So, I mean, in those days, remember, players stayed with their teams forever. Mm-hmm. So we had a starting lineup of Ed Cock at first and Red Chandings. And I can go on. Johnny Logan, Eddie Matthews, Wes Covington in left, Billy Bruton in center. And a guy, I don't know if you ever heard of, Henry Aaron was in right field. He was fairly decent. And then we had Warren Spahn and Lou Burdett and Bob Buell and we had one reliever in those days, Don McMahon. We didn't have the sixth inning reliever, the seventh inning reliever. Oh, no, I can't pitch unless I'm in the eighth inning reliever. And people just fell in love with them. And when they left and went to Atlanta, I was just completely heartbroken. And people maybe not remember this, but the White Sox and the Twins would come and play an exhibition game at County Stadium, and we would draw over almost 58,000. So that means there weren't enough seats, so they put up ropes in the outfield so people would stand on the warning track, and they wanted baseball so very, very badly. And of course, the Brewers came from Seattle. They were god awful for a long, long time, but so the love affair with Major League Baseball, and I can remember the teams that the Brewers played against and their starting lineups and all of that, because everybody stayed with their teams forever. And it's a much different thing today.
Absolutely, much different thing today. And in high school, you played football, captain of the football team. You played basketball, baseball. So when high school came to a close, you elected to come to Milwaukee in 1966, played in 1967. Why baseball? Why UWM?
Baseball was the sport that I was probably best at. I'm not a very big guy. I'm about 5'9", and I think I weighed about maybe 160 my freshman year at UWM. It was a place that I could afford. The tuition was quite low, and I could make enough money in the summer to pay my tuition. And I knew they had a baseball program, and I really wanted that. And I also knew that it was a good educational system. And I knew in the fifth grade that I wanted to become a teacher. And I knew I wanted to teach at the high school level. And I know that sounds weird, but I just fell in love with social studies, fell in love with teaching. And I knew that UWM had a very good school of ed. And so it fit in very, very well with me. And my girlfriend at the time also was going to UWM. And it kind of worked out. We've been married for 53 years.
Wow, it absolutely did work out. And, you know, at UWM, you pitched. Were you always a pitcher?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I was a pitcher and loved it very, very much. And Bill Ritter was my head coach then. And we had a squad. I mean, it's a lot different now. Of course, Scotty Duffick, who just retired as the baseball coach at UWM, played for me at Arrowhead High School for three years, and very, very proud of the job that Scott has done. When I was there, the facilities were a little bit less. Excuse me. We had indoor practice at the famed Baker Fieldhouse. You've never seen it, but it was a basketball court, it had swimming pool and so on. And around the basketball court was an indoor running track. And the running track was made out of dirt. And so in the early spring, we used to have baseball practice on the gym floor. Track guys were running around the outside on an all-dirt track. The dust was coming up. It was very, very interesting. And let's just say that Salmas threw some wild pitches that ended up hitting some track guys periodically as they'd be lipping off to us about stuff, and we weren't going to take that. And unlike what UWM does now, you did not play as many games as they do now. We would play about a 30-game schedule, and we played our games then at Lincoln Park number one, and it wasn't as good a shape as it got to when Scott and people made some changes there. But we also played at McGovern, which is over on Silver Spring, and we also did not have a place to practice. So we used to find open areas. We used to go to on Belait Street. There was a field that we used to use periodically. If you know where Nicolay High School is, just to the east of I-43, there was an open lot there, which is now businesses. We used to go and practice there. And then if we could get on one of the Lincoln Park fields, we would go there. So it was a little bit different in those days. And our travel was to places in Illinois. We played Illinois State. We played Southern Illinois, Eastern Illinois, Northern Illinois, Winona State, if I remember, Carthage, and a school that doesn't exist anymore, Milton. Milton had a really good team. We played Bradley. Wayne State in Detroit was our big trip. And we also played UW-Madison. and they then had a baseball team. We also used to scrimmage Whitewater, and we would scrimmage Carroll. So we had a very competitive schedule, and I enjoyed it very, very much. And the Milwaukee area has really produced a lot of very, very good baseball players, and I still have very, very close friends that I played with at UWM, and I was fortunate to be selected captain my senior year in 1970.
Let me ask you this. If you had to come up with a scouting report about yourself as a pitcher, what would it say?
It would say that he's got great control. I always could put the ball where I wanted to. I had a tremendous breaking ball. But now I'm back at Arrowhead coaching the varsity pitchers. This will be my eighth year back in the spring. And we have so many kids now that throw so hard. And I probably threw it maybe, excuse me, I probably would hit maybe 82 or 83 if the wind was blowing hard behind me. But I was not a thrower. I was a real pitcher, and I could spot things. And some batters still aren't very intelligent, and they would let me throw that first pitch right down the hose for a strike, because so many of them, for some dopey reason, at the high school level, college level, I see professional athletes do it. They take that fastball right down the hose, and then guess what? I got a strike on you, pal, and I'm going to come in and get you. I was very, very competitive, and I thoroughly really knew most of the hitters, like when I played in the Land O'Lakes League. I, in my mind, had a book on everybody. Now, could I get the pitch exactly where I wanted it to? Not all the time, but I think I really understood the game really well.
And, you know, especially nowadays for pitchers, a lot of limitations, whether it be innings, you know, pitch counts. How about back when you played for the Panthers? What was typical for you in a typical season? I mean, do you have limitations?
There were none. No one ever took a pitch count. No one even, I mean, what? A pitch count? What are you talking about? And, of course, now in the major leagues, and I understand the amount of money that's invested in the players and so on, and if you were the manager that caused a pitching star to be hurt because he threw too many pitches, but I take you back to a book and a game called The Greatest Game Ever Pitched. It's Warren Spahn versus Juan Marichal in San Francisco. Spahn is 44 years old. The game goes 17 innings. Remember now, 17 innings.
Jeez.
Spahn threw every pitch. He threw 224 pitches. Juan Marichal is 27 years old. He threw 204 pitches. Alvin Dark was the manager of the Giants at the time. He came out four different times trying to take Marichal off the mound. And Marichal said, when that old man leaves the mound, then I'll leave the mound. In the bottom of the 17th inning, Willie Mays hit a home run off of Spahn, and the game ended 1-0. I talked to Spahn about this. I was fortunate enough to pick him up at the airport when he spoke at the Wisconsin Council, the Wisconsin High School Baseball Coaches Association meeting. And I asked him about it. He said, I met with Marichal the next day. I showed him exercises and stuff. Neither one of them missed the start. Neither one of them got a sore arm. So pitchers pitched more in those days than they do now. But also this, let's be very, very fair here. The pitchers in those days did not throw as hard as they do today.
Sure.
I mean, you've got guys up over 100 now, and it isn't, are they going to hurt their arm? is that when are they going to have Tommy John surgery? Your arm cannot take that, and I don't think the average fan realizes that.
You note that one of your most important pitching wins came in 1968. You threw a complete game, knocked off Northern Illinois 3-2. It was the Panthers' first ever win over NIU. What are your memories of that pitching performance?
Well, we went down there, and they had a spring homecoming and a fall homecoming. And they had a huge crowd there, and people thought, well, UWM is not going to knock off the NIU ball club, and I had a senior catcher behind the plate, Al Kaminsky, and I could spot the ball that day. He went to the inside corner, I hit the glove, outside corner, I hit the glove, and he was a veteran guy and knew the team we were playing, and there's no question that they were getting frustrated with me, because I was mixing speeds, and they wanted more fastballs. Guys were even yelling at me, throw more fastballs. And I was changing speeds, and my infield played really well behind me, Jim Scary at short. I was kidding him later that he had to put shin guards on at short because he's getting so many rockets hit to him. But it was very, very exciting, and I was just a sophomore, and that was our first win ever, as you mentioned. And just thinking about it now, I'm getting goosebumps. I really am. I mean, it was a very important win for UWM, and it put the Panthers on the map at least for a couple days.
And you referenced him earlier, but you played under head coach Bill Ritter. He was the first coach in Panther baseball history from 1957 through 1970. What kind of coach was Bill?
Bill was a really good guy. He really explained things well. He worked as hard. He did everything alone. He didn't have any assistants. I mean, he had some guys who would keep the books and stuff. But I mean, Bill had to do everything himself. And he would have the ball club over to his house for dinner periodically. And he was a guy you could really talk with, but he was a no-nonsense old-timer, and we play the game the right way, buddy. And you better give it your all at all times.
When baseball,
I like them a great deal.
Well, when baseball came to a close, as you mentioned, you got to live out your dream of teaching. You went to the classroom, you went back to your high school at Arrowhead High School. You also, after that time was all said and done, you came back to Milwaukee and taught a class or two. How special was that for you to not only live out the dream of being an educator, but also get the opportunity to teach at the schools where you got your education from?
Very, very much so. And, you know, even though I've been very, very lucky in the fact that I've been able to play sports to work for Major League Baseball for 37 years and be able to play at a great high school, then play baseball at UWM. Certainly the most exciting part of my life has been in the social studies classroom. I taught social studies, in particular U.S. history, and then I emphasized economics, and I taught AP macro for a long, long time, and I loved it very, very much. There isn't anything like it when you close that door and it's you and those 30 kids there. It's the greatest feeling in the world, and I know this sounds trite and the whole thing, but I just never worked a day in my life. I loved it every single day. And what you mentioned is true. After being at Arrowhead for 36 years, I was also the department chair. So that meant that I supervised and evaluated the 16 people in our department. I came to UWM and became the director of the Center for Economic Education there. And I taught a class, and then I also supervised student teachers. So if you were going to be a high school social studies teacher, and you're coming from UWM. I was your supervisor, and I had students each semester in schools all over southeastern Wisconsin, and I actually loved it. We were supposed to go in and see each teacher three times, but I would see them six because I had to make them better. I had to get them to really appreciate what teaching is, and I loved every minute of that. And I've been around for a long time, so no matter what school I place somebody in, I knew a lot of the teachers there, and there's a great feeling going into different high schools. They all have their own personalities. They all have their own way of doing things, and I have a lot of teachers who are still teaching, who I started them kind of on the career a little bit, and I'm very, very proud of that. And I've always been proud of University of Wisconsin Milwaukee. I'm a Panther through and through, and I try to support them as much as I possibly can. I think it is one of the jewels of the UW system, and I'll get political here for a second. The politicians in Madison have got to stop attacking the UW system. Increase the funding, because we need more highly educated people. And the UWM is a hidden gem on the east side of Milwaukee. It's a beautiful campus, great faculty, and I just think that it was the best place for me to become an educated teacher, and then to give back by using my experiences to make kids better teachers.
You stayed busy besides teaching, also coaching at Arrowhead High School. You spent 24 years coaching football, 11 seasons basketball, but probably best known as the head coach of the baseball team from 1975 through 2009. Never had, it blows my mind, never had a losing season, 30 seasons of 20 or more wins, 15 conference championships, 20 regional championships, a couple of state titles among six state appearances. What made your teams year in, year out so successful?
Well, first of all, I got great players. Anybody who sits back and becomes very egotistical about themselves as coaches strutting around, and I have seen through the years all kinds of people who maybe think that they are all that. Our program was very, very simple. Number one, you learn the basic fundamentals and you play the game the right way. And we emphasize that from our freshmen. We've always had two freshman teams at the high school, a sophomore team, and then the varsity. Secondly, I got kids to put their egos away, and also got their parents to put their egos away, which could be a problem sometimes. And if we wanted you to bunt, it was for the good of the team. And then the third thing, and maybe the most important, is this. If we're playing sports, they better still be fun. For heaven's sakes, at the high school level, they still better be enjoyable. Kids feel enough pressure that are being put on by public, by their parents, by everybody else. And we always work really, really hard on those three basic things. I never, ever yelled at a kid, and because is that anything more embarrassing in front of his peers, in front of his parents? You got a coach going berserk yelling at somebody. Now, here's what I would do. If someone did something that I needed to talk to them about, I would meet them after the game, and we would go through stuff. And also this, very important to be a great communicator. You have to tell kids, remember, you're dealing with 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, and to all of a sudden not start a kid, and you got to tell them. You're in a slump. You aren't hitting well. You're making a mistake on fielding and so on. So I'm gonna sit you for a couple of games instead of, well, he'll figure it out when he doesn't start. What is that? And all of the kids on my teams knew exactly what their place was. Some of them are starters and some of them may not start. But I'm going to try to get you in as often as I can. And I don't mean when we're up 12-1, I'm going to let you bat once and then put the starter back in. On non-conference games, I tried to start as many different kids as I possibly could. I think kids enjoyed playing for me, and I certainly enjoyed them. And I mean, they gave me everything that they possibly had, and we have a great baseball tradition here, and the kids know coming in. And I think we have kids running out everything because I want that shortstop from the other team to know, if you bobble this ground ball, my kid is going to be at first and he's going to be safe. So unlike at the pro level, we want to put the ball in play every time because guess what? High school kids make mistakes when the ball's put on the ground and they throw it all over the place. They throw it to the wrong base. And we just taught them, you know, the basic fundamentals, and we really had a great, great time.
Number of accolades have come your direction with the 742 wins you had as a baseball head coach. You're in the Milwaukee Athletic Hall of Fame, the Land O'Lakes Hall of Fame, pitched there for 13 seasons, the Wisconsin Baseball Coaches Hall of Fame. You're in the inaugural class in the Hall of Fame at Arrowhead High School. In fact, Arrowhead High School named the baseball field after you, O'Driscoll Field, in 2014. They also retired your number 22 jersey. What do some of those accolades, those honors mean to you?
It means really a lot to me because of the fact that I have loved this game so much, and I love the fact that my father and my brother were so involved in the game also, and I have just been really, really lucky. Come on, I mean, you don't win these many games without having great players, and I've had great, great players, and they've responded very well. And I have been treated, I mean, to have a field named after you, for heaven's sakes. Even now when I go up there every day, I look up and it still has an impact on me. I mean, come on. And it means a great deal. And it's really, really fun. Now, I am 75 years old, and I go back and I coach the varsity pitchers at the high school. And look at the age difference. They are 16, 17 years old. There's a 60-year difference. And all of them are so respectful to me. They listen to me. And they text me back and forth all summer in their summer leagues. And that makes me feel really, really good.
Of course, I have to ask you about being the official scorekeeper for Milwaukee Brewers baseball, employed by Major League Baseball for the last 37 seasons, over 2,250 games. You got your start in 1987. How did that opportunity come about?
Tom Skybosch, who went to UWM with me, Tom had a radio program, and I was the captain of the baseball team. So Tom would have me on, and he would have me talk about the Panthers and what's the season gonna look like. And Tom also managed the Brookfield team in the Land on the Lake, so he knew me really well. Pancho Palacio was the official scorer, and Pancho was a big-time basketball official. And he didn't like the fact that Harry Dalton, the general manager of the Brewers, sat in the second row right behind us, who sat in the front row. So Pancho wanted some weekends off, and Tom just called me and said, would you like to start scoring? And I said, okay. It was 1987. Well, 1987 is the year of Paul Molitor's hitting streak. And Pancho, I took Pancho out golfing because I used to work at Chinookwood Country Club here. And on Mondays, we could play golf. So I got Pancho out there on the third hole. He goes, I'm all done. I said, Pancho, we're on the third hole. No, I'm all done scoring. That was it. He was done. So there I am. I've got three games under my belt. And it's the Paul Molitor hitting streak. Oh, my God. And it ended up being the fifth longest hitting streak in the history of modern baseball. And, you know, I've been so very lucky. Robin Yount's 3,000-hit Trevor Hoffman's 600 save, and something that I don't think anybody else will ever see again. I also was fortunate enough to score the 300th win of Nolan Ryan when the Texas Rangers came in and beat the Brewers. I also have scored two no-hitters, but they both are with the Cubs. Carlos Zambrano was pitching against the Houston Astros in Milwaukee, and they had to come here because of the hurricane, and Zambrano throws a no-hitter. And then also Alex Mills, who no one knows about, in 2020, he was the fifth starter of the Cubs, threw a no-hitter against the Brewers, and it was during the pandemic, and I actually scored the game from my house because we weren't allowed in the park. So I have been very lucky with playoff games and all of that, and absolutely love being a scorer for Major League Baseball.
Well, Tim, we've been very lucky to hear your stories over the last half hour or so. I know we just scratched the surface. We could talk all day, but I got to let you go, but want to thank you for your time.
Well, thank you very, very much. I really appreciate the fact of getting a chance to talk with you, and I know you're doing an outstanding job for the Panthers also.
Thanks a lot, and that's Tim O'Driscoll. My name is Matt Mental. Thanks for joining us for this edition of the Pouncecast.